fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, Jace here at Centennial Sportsplex as the glass is starting for the first time today. We're getting a visual.
You can actually see.
A little bit of a visual of
see.
The ice.
Now that practice is over, the fog is
great timing. Fogged up for practice, unfogged or halfway unfogged, practice is over.
If you play in the vodka league, you're usually fogged up for practice, so it's good.
Yeah.
Can get a little foggy.
It can get a little foggy in a vodka league, no doubt about it. We are hoping to hopefully talk to a player here soon, also Derek Mason, as they recorded their first victory of the season, and they are off to Oxford, Mississippi to take on Ole Miss.
Did you guys watch Ole Miss at all against Alabama?
A little, yeah.
Did not.
I watched a little bit of it.
We were out in the heat at a baseball field.
I got back from the heat of the baseball field. We had the two early games, so I got back in time to watch that game. Interesting move that Ole Miss made, and I guess they have not really announced what they're going to do this week at quarterback. They brought Corral, right, a redshirt freshman, to SEC Media Days, and then they sort of shocked everybody by going to this other guy. Now, I get confused. I have a brother whose name is Reese, R-H-Y-S. So this guy spells it the same way, but they call him Rice?
Correct.
Hey, what's his full name?
John Rice Plumlee. It's like you're picking pieces of an Ole Miss quarterback out of a hat. You took three pieces.
So, Max, help me on this.
Sounds like a country singer.
John Rice Plumlee is a baseball player, correct?
Seems like everybody on this team is a freshman baseball player on the football team.
They have two of them.
Their running back is,
right?
Too, yeah.
And this kid comes out there and runs the ball 24 or 25 times against Alabama and ran for over 100 yards, correct?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe so.
Yeah. They had some success. They came at Alabama, and they kept it very simple, but they were basically saying, we're not going to throw it as very much. They had their moments of success. But I guess there's still mystery of whether they're going to stick with this or go back to Corral. But it's a huge game for both teams because both are playing that game of Ole Miss is now eligible to go back to a bowl game. They would really like to hit that number.
Yep.
They know in the SEC West their opportunities are slim, so this is a massive game for them. It's at home, they're favored, but it's the same kind of importance for Vanderbilt. And they're going to have to play better than they played on Saturday if they're going to win down there. Remember what happened last year, too. I'm sure there's going to be some motivation for Ole Miss because it was such a tight game, kind of a controversial ending, the overtime, to try to set the record straight there from Ole Miss's perspective. So Vanderbilt's going to have to play very well to win this game. And if they don't, they're going to have a service break somewhere down the road if they're going to get to six, right? At least one service break.
No doubt.
You got to come up with three league wins no matter what.
Well, I mean, you're going to get UNLV because they stink. But you got Ole Miss, Missouri at home.
Tough.
At South Carolina.
Tough.
At Florida, Kentucky at home, ETSU, and at Tennessee. So ETSU and UNLV. So you got three wins. Now you got to find three more.
They're all SEC.
Right, in that bunch. Where are they, right?
That's a good question. And I think Tennessee's asking the same question. Ole Miss is asking
that
question. Ole
Miss has got two wins.
Kentucky's asking that question.
Now, they've already beat Arkansas. At least they have a conference win and a win in the West. But they have Vanderbilt. They've got Missouri on the road, home against A&M, at Auburn, New Mexico State. That's a win. LSU and at Mississippi State. You tell me where they get to six. They got some work.
That's why
this game is really critical for them.
That's where I'm getting at.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, however you skin the cat, I mean, right? It's so you know you're going to get New Mexico State, but when you're talking about A&M and at Auburn and LSU and at Mississippi State and at Missouri, in this Vanderbilt game and New Mexico State, you get those two. That's just four. You got to find some more wins. I honestly, the way I look at it and look at the schedule, if Ole Miss doesn't win this, they're not going to a bowl game. They're not getting to six wins.
Max, how do you size up this matchup? I think Vanderbilt is going to have their best offensive game. I think this is one where I see Vanderbilt having to score in the 30s at least to win. And actually, I think we're going to get to talk to Coach Mason instead of Max. No offense to Max, but Max is now answering the phone with Coach Mason coming on.
Game will kick off, by the way, at 6:30 down in Oxford. Let's head over to West End. We've got limited time. Let's bring in Vanderbilt head football coach Derek Mason. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Sorry, guys, a little under the weather, just trying to get to the other side.
Uh-oh, what are you battling? A little cold?
You know, a little stomach virus. I mean, it's been going through my team.
Oh, no.
It's been going through my team, you know, I keep telling those guys, you know, man, wash your hands, you know, hydrate, take care of yourself, and then all of a sudden I look up and I'm the recipient.
Sounds like me talking to my 7-year-old. And I also say, get out of my face, man. I don't want what you get.
Oh, no
doubt. Bring that stuff home from school.
No doubt.
Well, congratulations on the victory over Northern Illinois. You guys get your first win of the season. Overall, what did you make of the game?
You know, I thought we got off to a fast start offensively and you know, defensively got some stops, played well early in special teams, and then we hit that lull, we hit that bump. Man, we got to be better. But this team, you know, man, showed some grit. You know, in this ball game, Northern Illinois, you know, man, made a run. I thought we should have stretched this game out, but Northern Illinois came back, and, you know, when we needed to actually stand up and make plays, you know, man, they did. We wound up getting a defensive stop, you know, with a sack. We wound up, you know, man, getting the ball back on special or getting the ball back, you know, meant to possess it, and then needed to close it out with a first down, and we did. So it wasn't pretty by any stretch of the imagination, but 2 weeks from now, hey, I mean, it'll still be in the win column, and that's what we needed.
You had Keyshawn Vaughn break a long one for a touchdown. It gets called back for a penalty. I guess you guys, it was just meant to be. You were supposed to score because the very next play, Keon Brooks, your freshman, goes to the house.
Right.
Don't know a lot about him, but tell us a little bit about the young man.
You know, young man from Atlanta, Georgia, is extremely talented. I mean, he's flashed all camp. I know with Jamari Wakefield going down and really looking at, you know, Javion Marlowe, you know, man, as he slowly works his way back, you know, Keon had an opportunity to get into games, had seen some flashes, but, you know, you really see, you know, man, the vision, and the speed, the explosiveness, and he's still got to grow in size, but this young man's going to be a tremendous talent. You'll be talking about him for years to come.
I like to hear that. So I know you weren't pleased with the penalties, almost 100 yards in penalties, other than just discussing it. How do you go about trying to clean that aspect up?
Well, again, you know, these things that you think, you know, I mean, are going away tend to rear their ugly head. And granted, you know, Devin Cochran made his way back, and we had a, you know, Big Ten, you know, officiating crew. And granted, everybody's points of emphasis is different. That's why, you know, man, once you get into the season, you know, it's great to be in your conference because you do understand exactly what they're calling. For us, you know, we have to learn early. Hey, listen, these are going to be, you know, in the rules. Obviously, this is what they're calling. You know, here's what stands out. We had a couple of guys, and granted, you had a hot Saturday, wet jerseys. Guys' hands were hitting jerseys and sliding up. It just so happens that we were the only ones that were doing it. So, but we've got to understand what the rules of engagement are early. Let's get it corrected and let's move on. But that's not what you want to see as we move forward, especially versus Ole Miss. We have to be on top of our game. We're playing against a team and that you know, doesn't have a lot of penalties. They don't commit a lot of penalties. And when you don't do that, you don't beat yourself.
Talking to Coach Derek Mason. And Coach, you've coached in a lot of different places, including the desert at one point out in Arizona. But I got to believe that was one of the hottest games you've been a part of on Saturday, just the way the heat was at 11 a.m. and it kept rising throughout the day.
Right. You know, I mean, the heat index got to 127, you know, on the field, and that's pretty warm. What I saw from our guys is that, you know, we don't lack for conditioning. I think the way we practice, you know, under James Dobson, the strength conditioning and really with our athletic training staff in terms of hydration and what we do, you know, I mean, guys handles it, but it was hot. My daughters were in town. My youngest daughter, you know, left in the third quarter. She said, "Dad, it was just too hot. I just had to go watch the game in your office." So I know she wanted to come see Dad, but she said it wasn't worth the tan. So I get it.
Coach, I know everybody's asking about this, but it's interesting because we talk about this same thing with the Titans. As you have an array of guys that can make plays for you on offense, including Cam Johnson had a really nice game for you.
Yes.
He's come off of this injury, and he's making nice plays. So you have a lot of different – it's a good problem to have. You have a lot of guys on the field who can make plays. But then people will say, well, how come Pinckney's not getting the ball a little bit more, or this guy or that guy? So how do you try to attack this good problem and make sure that it all fits together and you have the most efficient offense you can possibly have?
Well, we need to make sure, man, that we can have the most potent offense, on the field on any given Saturday that we're capable of being. And when I look at this team right now, you know, not having Pinckney in the middle of the field, man, and not being able to maximize that's not our best ball. The big three give you an opportunity, man, because of the positions that they play, for people to need to defend, those three guys, which means that when you have other athletes around them, those guys are going to get opportunities. Whether it's, what we do in terms of schematics, play calling, consistency, timing, chemistry, okay, those things got to get shored up. We're in conference play now. Pinckney's going to show up on Saturday. I think he's going to have a great game. He's heavy in the rotation, and I think the middle of the field is where he's got to show up. So for us, it's one of those things. When he's on, we're better. We're scoring points. We're staying on the field. So we need him on Saturday.
This is a question that I know comes up a lot because there's less and less contact that happens at practice in this day and age, even in the off season. But how do you work on tackling to make sure your team tackles the best they can?
You know, it's the idea of making sure too, man, because you can't tackle that. There's limited contact, and for those who don't know, I mean, there's only one contact practice, full contact practice allowed. So with that being said, everything else becomes what we call whiz or palms up, to where, guys are working to simulate same foot, same shoulder, and get in the hip position, like to finish on a tag off. Well, that's as good as you can do. And granted, when the mechanics and fundamentals of that, aren't what they need to be, well, then you start to develop bad habits, whether it's eyes down, not running your feet through contact. Those are things, because we really don't have enough time during the off season to practice it. So when you get into the season, every practice rep matters. Every practice rep counts. And so with that being said, the only thing you can do is to simulate it. Well, simulation is not true action, but, for us, it's got to be good enough. So we got to be better about the mechanics, and that's my focus right now. It's about what are we doing in practice. Does it look, even in the simulation piece, does it look the way we need it to look?
Coach Derek Mason of Vanderbilt here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. Got Ole Miss on the road this weekend. And Coach, when you were out at Stanford in the Pac-12 and Rich Rodriguez, who is the offensive coordinator for Ole Miss, was at Arizona, I know you maybe crossed paths a couple times. What kind of difficulties does his offense present from a defensive standpoint?
Well, it's an offense that's predicated on running the football. And, whether it's tempo, whether it's the athletes that they have, he generally has a dual threat quarterback who can make you pay. When I was at Stanford, it was Foles, Nick Foles, Nick was not a runner, but he ran enough. As they progressed, and he was able to get to guys like Khalil Tate. It looks a little different. I mean, he's been able to coach some pretty good ones, and now in Plumlee, who actually played against Alabama on Saturday. You see how dynamic that offense can be. I mean, it's predicated on being able to, RPO, zone read for the quarterback, some plunge, some split zone, in there in terms of the run game. But the quarterback run game really keeps you, off balance, because you have to be able to guard 11 guys when generally when you're playing against an offense, you're really only guarding 10. So now with playing 11-on-11 football, it's true one-on-one. And so your fits have to be right. The fits in the run game have to be right, and you have to populate to the football in order to have success versus his offense.
Coach, hope you get past dealing with a little stomach bug and get down to Oxford and get yourself a second win. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much. I'm working on it. Let's anchor down.
All right. That is Derek Mason, Vanderbilt head football coach, 6:30.
Toughing it out. I don't know if I could do a
– say it's going around the room.
Interviews and stuff. Stomach, man, that knocks me out. My stomach's out. I am down for the count.
It is. I know. It can. It can definitely knock you down for the count. But they will be 6:30 under the lights is kickoff for that contest. Vanderbilt Ole Miss. Right now the Rebels, from what I've seen, about a touchdown favorite?
6 to 7 points I've been seeing.
We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnie, and Chase live here at Centennial Sportsplex next. It's pretty interesting that we had Mookie Betts bring us back from the break. Willie, I'm sure you saw this, but Red Sox president saying keeping J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts is going to be really difficult.
A lot of money.
Lots of money.
Money, 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 money.
But I'll tell you what, if Nashville was indeed going to get an MLB team, could you imagine?
That would be awesome.
Their first big signing, you think that would make sense?
Mookie would be about 35 by then.
No, I'm not talking about that long. I'm saying if.
Yeah.
If that was just around the corner.
I do wonder what are the next 5 years going to hold with that? You know, will baseball announce this expansion? Will there be something definitive on the A's and the Rays? I will guarantee you tomorrow night during the broadcast that gets addressed. What's the long-term future for these franchises? Not that they aren't great organizations, but at some point you got to get the stadium thing resolved to really be able to compete. Imagine if the A's and the Rays had more resources, what they could do. They won 96 games.
I'll tell you guys a funny story. So I get to Tampa Wednesday night, and we're in the Uber, and we see off in the distance the Trop in St. Petersburg, and start talking about the Rays and all of that. And the Uber driver is sitting there trying to convince us that, it's really not that bad. I mean, it's actually a nice stadium. And I'm looking at my friend Ricky, and I kind of go, yeah, I've been to it.
It's
been to better.
It's not good.
Not good.
That was being very nice.
Yeah. It's not that bad compared to what?
Right. To Oakland? Yeah. It's probably better than Oakland.
It's not much better than Oakland.
Not much.
I mean, Oakland, at least if it's a nice day outside, you can be outside. Tampa, you're shut in there. You're in the wind tunnel.
And it's just old.
I want to ask you guys this. I was looking. Mark Benda has been sending out from News Channel 5. He's the program director over there of the television ratings in this market for sporting events for many, many, many years. And we've been using those as kind of reference points for decade plus of just what people are watching in this market. And so I've paid, as Willie knows, very, very close attention to that over the years. And the latest came out, Titans Falcons, number one in this market, 24.9 rating. Cowboys Saints Sunday night, second, 17.0 rating. Vikings Bears, 15.8 rating, third. Eagles Packers Thursday night, 12.2 rating. Bears Redskins, 7.3 rating. Now,
I get it for a bad game.
Tennessee didn't play.
Last night was
Tennessee
game.
And Georgia.
Yep.
You had Vanderbilt, Northern Illinois, 11 o'clock. So I get it. So it wasn't a really, really attractive board at all. I get it. But I know that college football in the past has found their way into this top five. And sometimes right there hovering at the top as the most watched.
Well, definitely with the CBS 230 game, for sure.
And this year, It's been a struggle. So I ask you guys this. Why? I mean, like I said, maybe this one, it's pretty easy to explain. Vanderbilt, out of conference game, no Tennessee. Tennessee, Georgia may change all that. Let's have this conversation this time next week. But why do you think, I mean, two of those NFL games, Bears, Vikings, Bears, Redskins, were not attractive games to watch?
Yeah.
Unless you really, really love defense.
I think it's still a league where the masses still enjoy watching the league. The college football, I think, will come around some when you start getting better matchups. The 2:30 CBS game has Alabama as a huge favorite a couple of times already against South Carolina and against Ole Miss. I'm trying to think of the other 230 games that they've had. It just hasn't been.
Well, here's another part of it, though.
They haven't had the big matchups yet. How did Georgia against Notre Dame?
Didn't show up.
It wasn't in the top five.
One in the top five.
That was not in the top five.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That is very surprising to me.
That was two weekends ago, though.
That was two weekends ago. Actually, I think it did show up.
It had to be in the top five.
Yeah, it was.
That was prime time, too, CBS. That's definitely on there.
That was in the top five.
Okay. Well, I would have been shocked.
But Ohio State, Nebraska did not.
That game was over so quick.
I know.
What do you two do a lot on Saturdays?
Depends.
Sit at the baseball field and
or the soccer field.
I think a lot of people do things on Saturday, whereas Sunday, you're sitting on the couch.
They did that before. I mean, has that really changed?
Well, I mean, no, but you can watch on your phone. I don't know how ratings works for like watching on devices. You know, if you're watching on your iPad or your phone,
I don't think it shows up in the Nielsen ratings. That would be an interesting study to do. Is there have to be some fans, because I'm one of them. I was watching the Vanderbilt game on my phone while I was watching my son play baseball.
Well, the way the networks will measure it and release it themselves, but it's proprietary data, so we only see what they release, but ESPN does this a lot with streaming and watch ESPN. It's called total audience delivery, but we don't always see that for individual games. They only kind of put it out when they want to brag about a big number. But it definitely doesn't count in the true TV number, like you're saying, Chase.
Right. I know this from the Predators. We try to gauge both. You know, we have the ratings and we have the streaming numbers, and you try to put it all together, try to figure out exactly what is your audience. But we know that as we go forward, it's going to be more and more important that you try to quantify who's watching, and you want to make it available for people that are out and about to be able to watch, right, on your phone or on your computer.
Well, there's so many ways to watch or listen, right? Whether it's radio or television. Yeah. And so now they have the task of trying to figure out how do they give them credit, right?
And how does the consumer get it and get it as economically as they can?
Right. We come back. We think we will have the captain, Roman Josi, sit down with us. Hope on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase here at Centennial Sportsplex, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, live here at Centennial Sportsplex, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Now joined by the captain, Roman Josi, has decided to eat a quick lunch after practice and then come out here and hang out with us, so we appreciate that. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
JRT is your hat. You got a little free lid from a teammate?
Yep. Ryan Johansson, Journey Risk True. It's a little company back in Vancouver, and he gave us some free stuff this morning.
Very nice. Yep. Some free swag. How was the food back there? How was the spread?
It was good. Really good. We had a little food truck. Some burgers. It was good.
Oh, very nice. Any street corn at all?
No. No, just burgers and fries.
Okay. That'll still work, right?
Sure.
That'll get it done. Yeah. Let's just say a hearty congrats, by the way, to you this off season.
Thank you.
Wedding, getting married, went on a little safari. How was that?
It was fun. It was awesome.
That had to have been a first, right?
Yeah, definitely. My family's been, and they told me how awesome it is. And my wife loves animals, and I love animals. So we figured it would be a good trip to do after the wedding.
Yeah, it's cool, and we're a big fan of animals on the show, too, but we want to keep a safe distance from, like, lions and tigers and elephants and oh my. But, yeah, we took our son to Animal Kingdom, to Disney World this year, first time. And they've had, you know, obviously a scaled-down safari version there at Animal Kingdom, and it's really cool. But so what was that like?
It was cool because you see those animals in their natural habitat,
right?
Like they're, and it's actually pretty funny how you're in the car, but the car is not covered at all, and they kind of just don't acknowledge the car, like it's like normal for them. So they still do their own thing, kind of, and you're just watching them doing what they do, and it's pretty cool. Like we saw some real fun stuff.
Like what was an animal that stood out to you?
The leopard was cool.
Yeah. Did he get really close?
Yeah, they were a couple of feet away from the car.
Really?
Just laying there. And you're not supposed to move on the car. And one time, someone behind me actually moved, and the leopard kind of stood up and, like, looked me, like, I swear, looked me straight in the eyes and started hissing. I was like, oh. I was like, drive away. But that was kind of scary. That's when you realize, like, they're wild animals, so you got to be careful. But it was awesome. Like, we saw so many cool things, so many cool animals.
Now, did you stay out in it like a hut, or how does that work? Where did you stay?
We stayed in, like, different camps. The last one was like a tent. The second one was kind of a tent, little lodge, and the first one was a lodge. So they were all a little bit different, but really cool setups.
But they're still out there in, you know, the wild, right?
Yeah, they're in the middle of nowhere. So it's just that camp. It's pretty awesome.
It was cool to see the picture of the meerkat just like leaning up against you while you're just sitting there on Instagram. I was like, it just ran right up to you? Is that?
Yeah, I guess they're used to that there, that there's a lot of people around always. And yeah, they were pretty funny. The meerkats, they're trying to look out for predators, like birds and stuff. And so they sometimes, one even went up on my shoulder and was trying to see if somebody's trying to attack him. So it was pretty funny.
So, by the way, we got to ask this one. So 2 years in a row, you guys have ended the preseason in Raleigh in an overtime win with Joey finishing things off. And we don't in baseball, it's a walk-off, as you know. Yeah. You're a baseball fan, but it can't be a walk-off in hockey. I guess it's a skate-off. Yeah. So was that discussed at all at any point before the game, during the game, going into – at any point was that discussed of, Joey, you got to do what you did last year?
No, I don't think it was. Well, I didn't play.
You didn't play, but you're the captain. Yeah. You know everything that's going on.
Yeah. We didn't talk about it, honestly.
No?
I saw it too, and I was like, it was so funny because
it was the best.
Last year was kind of like, I remember I was on the ice and
I was
kind of celebrating.
You played last year, right?
I was celebrating. I was like, where's Joey? And like, nobody really knew what's happening. And I think this year, once he scored, everybody knew he's gonna go for that door again.
I wonder if some of the younger guys who weren't a part of that last year, if they had any idea, or if they were just laughing, going, "Oh my gosh!" Because like you, we were just all just cracking up at watching this. It was like, you know, Groundhog's Day. The same thing happened.
I know. It was pretty funny. I don't know if the young guys, I'm sure they knew from last year because it was a pretty funny story last year.
Roman Josi at the table with us. So what did you make of the 6 preseason games here at camp? You've got some new look faces. So what do you make of everything to this point?
I thought it was a really good camp for us. Obviously, the results don't matter as much, but I think winning hockey games always gives you a little confidence. And I thought we played some really good games, and even the practices where guys worked hard. So it was a good camp.
Matt Duchene in the mix. How has his presence been felt?
He's been great. I mean, he's obviously an unbelievable player, but he's a great guy too. It took him very little time to be a huge part of this team. He's an awesome guy around the room. He's great on the ice. He's going to be a huge help for us.
Roman, you guys have the last few years, you know what your expectation level is, and how did you try to use last year as motivation? And as particularly as the group talks about, is it turning the page, or is it kind of using that as having the chip on your shoulder to drive you?
I think you're trying to turn a page. Every year is new, and there's always new guys on the team. And after a long summer, you're just excited to get back to play hockey. And obviously, we didn't finish the year like we wanted to last year, but it's a new year. I think we have a really good team, a really deep team, and there's a lot of confidence in our room, and we're just excited to get going. And excited for this year.
What have you noticed from Dante Fabbro? Because he's impressed us the way he carries himself. He looks really calm on the ice. Are you seeing those same things? Because it looks like he's going to have more responsibility this year.
Yeah, he's really calm. I mean, he looked calm last year in the playoffs, and it's not easy to be thrown into playoff games as a young kid. And I thought he played really well. And yeah, same thing for this camp. He's just he's a great guy. He works really hard. He just does his thing kind of on the ice, and he looks like he's been playing in the league for a long time because he's so calm with the puck, and he's never out of position, never makes a mistake. So he's going to be a big part of our success this year.
Now, you guys are full steam ahead. I noticed they've just they've just put out the roster, the everybody's cleared waivers and everything like that, and you guys are set to go on Thursday. And around the league, all of these RFAs have now signed. I know that you probably get tired of being asked this and stuff, but everybody knows that what the team would like to do is create a long-term situation with you. I'm guessing you're not going to give a scoop on the air here today.
but we will take it, if you will.
If you would like to announce that, that'd be great.
But I'm hoping that everything is moving, and at some point it'll get done.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I understand it's a topic, but like I said before, I'm for me, it's just another season. Like, I'm trying to focus on my hockey game. I'm trying to get ready for the season, having a good camp, and yeah, that's all I can do.
And as these rosters get announced, the predictions start coming out. It's so interesting. There's so many teams in the West, and really in the East as well, but there's so little that separates the first team from the fifth team, from the tenth team, and it's such a challenge. Just to get back to the playoffs is not something you can take for granted.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's so many good teams in this league, and every game you play is hard. So, yeah, I think the first goal has to be to make it in playoffs, and obviously our division is a real tough division. A lot of teams with a lot of good pickups this summer too. So it's going to be another hard year, but yeah, we're ready for it.
Roman Josi, the captain, here with us, and you talked about Dante Fabbro earlier, and we know PK moves on to New Jersey, and that's going to open up in the defensive room for, you know, all of you guys to step up and fill that void. What have you seen so far, not only out of yourself, but Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, Dan Hamhuis, the others on the defense?
Yeah, I mean, I've played with these guys for a long time, especially Ellie and Ekholm. We kind of came up together, and I mean, they look really good, like they always do. And I think Eki, with the year he had last year, obviously, he's going to be even better this year. And Ellie had a great year, and he's going to be great too. So I think on defense we had a lot of depth with Hammer, Webby, Matt Irwin, all these guys. Yeah, we've been together for a while now, so the chemistry is really good in our D-core.
Now, we talked a lot last year about the power play. Dan Lambert comes in as another assistant to try and help you guys. Saw some success in the preseason. You feeling pretty good about how that's going so far?
Yeah. We worked on it a lot this camp. We had a lot of practice where we worked on the power play. And, Dan Lambert, he's really good. He demands a lot of the power play. It's good. It's intense. We work on it hard in practice. And, obviously, we had some success in the games which definitely helps, and it's going to give us some confidence going forward.
I asked Lavi this question when we had him on last week, but with not a ton of changes on the team, but Duchesne is a new voice, Lambert is a new voice, a couple of others. When you've been together for so long as a core group, is that beneficial to just be able to lean on some other voices that haven't been in this room before?
Definitely, yeah. I think new ideas are always good. I think as a player, as a team, you're always looking for new things, and you're looking to get better. And I think it's great to have some different input from other guys that have been in different teams, been in the league for a long time, and coaches too that have been in other places. I think it's only beneficial for the team.
How do you think that you have grown personally as the captain of this team?
Well, I think I've learned a lot the last 2 years being the captain. I think the first year and the second year were a little different. First year was kind of smooth sailing. All regular season we played really well. Didn't end the way we wanted in playoffs, but last year was a little different. There was a lot of up and downs, and I think you can learn something, especially me as a captain. I can learn something from the wins. I can learn something from the losses. So you just kind of learn how to deal with different situations.
Now, we got to ask, Roman, if you watched, I'm sure you did, the Wimbledon final with your man Roger Federer. One of the best matches I think I've ever seen. He came up a little short against Djokovic, but it was an incredible match to watch. Where were you when you watched it?
I was at home. That was the week of my wedding, the week before my wedding. And I had four or five of my best friends from Switzerland that I grew up with were here. So for us, that's like Federer playing in the Wimbledon final. And they all came over to my house, and we did a little brunch, watched the game, and it was... Yeah, it was disappointing, but he played unbelievably. He should have won that game.
Yeah, the match point he had, that's the beauty of tennis is it's not over until you win that last point. He had the match point a couple of times there.
But it was a sad day for us. We were pretty sad. We take it serious when he loses in the Wimbledon final. It's We get sat for a couple of days.
Just an incredible
guy. Doesn't
athlete.
Age.
Yeah, he's incredible. He looks the same as he did 10 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. I don't know how he doesn't.
Speaking of Switzerland, the Flyers are over in Switzerland, so you need to, you know, work on getting you guys over to Switzerland. You're
that'd
the
be
captain.
Fun, yeah.
Winter Classic this year, and then yeah. Switzerland next year.
I know, that would be fun. I would love that.
Right? That'd
yeah.
be cool.
Yeah, it would be a cool experience going
are you
back
excited?
To Bern.
Excited about the Winter Classic?
Definitely, yeah.
It's got to be a cool experience to play outdoors.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you ever have coming up through the ranks.
Yeah, when I was younger, but definitely never in an arena like that. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. All the guys are really excited, and I think, yeah, you watch all those Winter Classic games the past years, and you never know when you get a chance again to play in one. So we're definitely going to enjoy it.
Since you're from Switzerland, hot or cold? You're a hockey player. You went on a safari. It's 98 degrees today. Hot or cold?
Probably hot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mind the heat.
Really?
I like it, yeah.
Interesting.
I like the cold, too, because I used to, and now I don't ski anymore, but I used to ski growing up, and so I like the winters in Switzerland, too. But, yeah, right now I can't ski, so probably hot.
All right. Good stuff. Hey, yeah. Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
The captain, Roman Josi, we do appreciate him stopping by the table. We will come back and wrap up the show next here at Centino Sportsplex on Darren, Donnie, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Thank you, David. Really appreciate Roman Josi for popping by our table before he gets out of here. Team was doing a little bonding after practice.
Because now they know the roster. You know what I mean? So you're hesitant to do a lot of that stuff before you know who's going to start the season. But now the good news is everybody cleared waivers. They didn't lose any of the players.
Nope.
And so they're still in the family. They're still available. But now this is the group. There's no more uncomfortable, hey, I got to talk to you. Coach needs to see you.
So Steven Santini and Mika Salamaki have been sent to Milwaukee. Okay, and so right now they're going to have their opening night roster consist of 22 players, 14 forwards, and 7 defensemen, 2 goaltenders. Okay, so what do you make of what opening night will look like Thursday night as they host the Wild? What did you guys make of the final roster coming out?
Well, the final roster is probably not overly surprising, not any big surprises in there. I think maybe it's a little bit of an upset that they did not keep Santini and Salamaki. I think people might have had those guys. But those are – we knew they would be among the group of the tough decisions. You know, the 90% of the team you kind of knew. Today they did some interesting things at practice where they moved Kyle Turris back to center, and they had him with Grimaldi and Yarncroak. They put Craig Smith up on the line with Johansson and Arvidsson. And they did keep Forsberg together with Duchesne and Mikhail Granlund. So these are all things that, you know, I've learned over the few years. Because they do it on Tuesday doesn't mean it'll be like that even tomorrow at practice, let alone Thursday for the game. But I think that will be where we focus a lot of things is how will they start? Where will they start all the pieces here? Now that you know what the pieces are going to be, they did have Sissons, Bonino, Watson together. The line that has been very effective over the last few years now.
Fabro with Ekholm,
and Josi back with Ellis. So.
Irwin and Carr were considered the extras.
Right, and that would be, I would be surprised if either one of them is in the lineup on Thursday unless somebody gets hurt before then.
Do we think when they drop the puck Thursday night, is Jofa together, or do they split them up?
I think they're split up.
I think that they're going to keep Forsberg with Duchesne to start.
Yep, I think so too. I think to start off, that's going to be the look, that second line.
But
Duchesne just centering the second line.
The question would be, where are Kyle Turris and Craig Smith best served? That's probably the key question.
I thought, honestly, and I still think, that, by the way, I know that does not change my mind what you said. I think for purposes to start out, because I think they truly want to get him going and start off the right way, I think he's going to be – Kyle Turris will be up there on that first line with Arvidsson and Johansson on the wing. And I just think they're going to try to get him going out of the gates. And I think what they've been tinkering with in preseason, that they will tinker with early on in the regular season. That's just my two cents. That's the feeling I get.
I think they're going to give him every opportunity to succeed because they want.
But you
got to
win
succeed.
In the meantime, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you do.
You hope that you have the luxury of tinkering with some stuff while you still are gaining points. What becomes a problem is you're doing this, and at the same time, maybe you struggle a little bit. That's where you get into a hairy situation. So, on paper, you got four home games, and you've got a few. You got some teams that do not look like powerhouses, right? The first two games, the Wild and the Wings. That being said, the Wings have had the Predators' number for whatever reason. I don't know. Since Lavi's been here, they beat the Wings one time. It's unbelievable.
Luckily, they don't have Peter Mrazek anymore.
That's part of the issue. Okay. But still, last year they didn't beat
whose career record against the Predators is 8-0 with a shutout. 8-0.
It's unbelievable.
Peter Mrazek.
But at the same – so we'll see how they get out of the gate. As Roman said, the results of the preseason games don't mean anything, but they played well in the preseason, right? Yeah. Whether they won or lost the games, they had – going to Carolina with some of the secondary players they had and winning that game was pretty good. They almost pulled off the road win in Tampa with the same kind of thing. So their depth, I think – they have to feel good about, and also that when the guys that they did put in there all played well enough to show some good things. So now it's time to get it started for real.
I'm telling you, there's a vibe I get off them right now. Roman had it. We talked about it last week with Peter LaViolette, that there's just this determination that I'm not saying they haven't been determined in the past, but there's just something different this year. That they're ready to get this going. And I like the makeup of this team, and I've seen so many tweets of people saying how loaded Milwaukee's going to be with all the depth that they have down there that they could bring up whenever they need it.
I was looking at Scott Burnside, who put out his power rankings for this season going into the regular season. He has Tampa, number one team in the league, Boston, the number two team in the league, Toronto, the number three team in the league. That is all one division. Mm-hmm. Washington 4, Vegas 5. First Western Conference team, not until 5. Calgary 6, I do not agree with that. Nashville 7, San Jose 8, Colorado 9, St. Louis 10. So basically the Western Conference and a lot of the Predators division, 5 through 10 in his power rankings.
Thought was noteworthy as we get out of here. We mentioned none of the Predators players were claimed off of waivers. There were very few teams that selected somebody off the waiver wire. So yeah. I'm sure every team was sweating, hey, we don't want to lose these guys. We like these guys, these last couple cuts. I think there were only two, and they were not big names at all that were grabbed off of waivers.
That'll do it for our coverage here from Centennial Sportsplex. Appreciate, once again, Roman Josi for joining us here in the final hour. Have a great rest of your hot day. We will talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. See you then.